praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's a good opportunity to praise the Lord. For he is worthy.
Yes.
Nobody's worthy but him.
Amen.
We thank everybody else. We thank everybody for what they do. But he is worthy to be praised. I thank God for salvation today.
Yes.
I thank God for being sanctified and satisfied. And I thank God for being filled with the Holy Spirit. That person that God has sent me and you to lead you and guide you and direct you and protect you and to heal you and to deliver you and provide for you and to keep you and then take you home to heaven.
Yes.
To live forevermore. What a great God.
Yes.
What a mighty God we serve.
Yes.
That's why the angels bow before him. And heaven and earth adores him. Now I can speak. I can speak for the birds and the bees and the animals and the tigers. I can speak for all them. They adore him.
Yes.
They adore him. He said heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. I can truly speak for the creation that God created that adores him. And he says only man, only the one he made in his own image seems to have a little problem in adoring him. Seem to get a little weary of worshiping him. But these animals and birds, I watch them and they take their time. They take their good time to bless the Lord for some dirty water that you left out in your yard or in your buckets. You don't want it, but they get on the top of that bucket. They look around. They take a drink of that old water and they lift their heads up. And they say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
For that old piece of stale bread that you didn't want, you took it and you threw it out. They jump down in front of it. They look around. They take a little piece of that old stale bread that people didn't want. And they look up and they say, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
What a mighty God we serve. He is so great. He's great to me. And I try to operate just like those birds. And everything that he gives me, I take a minute and say, thank you, Lord. It don't have to be a whole lot. I just say, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Because my little bit, somebody don't have anything. And so we say, thank you, Lord. I think they sang that song this morning. I just want to say, thank you, Lord. For being so good to me. And so we're just here to encourage your heart.
Yes.
We're living in the time of encouragement, and we're living in a time that we have to support one another in any way we can. And we are living in a time that I feel that there are many people outside of Christendom that really would like to know about this Jesus.
Yes.
They're searching for this Jesus that we have. And so we want to do all that we can, whenever we can, to whomsoever we can, to bless God among those that don't have what we have.
Yes.
That might not understand this Jesus like we understand him.
Yes.
So we want to be a light and an example. And we want to let them know that they're somebody. And somebody cares for them more than those that are around them. That there is a God that cares for them.
Yes.
This is the message that we give to those that are outside of these walls of safety that we come into. We want them to know that they are welcome into the family of God. Wherever they are, wherever they go, whatever condition that they're in, that they are somebody.
Yes.
Because Jesus made them and he cares for them.
Yes.
In their bad circumstance, in their condition, that God still loves them and wants them.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's a great message to a person that's standing on the corner.
Yes.
That's a great message to a homeless person. To let them know you might be homeless, but you're not helpless. Because you got a helper.
Yes.
And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, what a mighty God I serve.
Thank
you. And today we're just going to have a little encouraging teaching message. Yes, I've got a whole lot of papers up here. But information is power.
Yes.
Information is power. And as you notice, the topic today is we're going to say it together. You know what together is? It means that everybody's going to say it. Who can talk? And we're going to say it together. And so let's go. What does it say?
Will I recognize Jesus?
Say it again.
Will I recognize Jesus?
Let's say it one more time.
Will I recognize Jesus?
That's a food for thought. Will I recognize Jesus? So I was reading through this lesson and studying some things a while back. I noticed that little question. Will I recognize Jesus? Anytime, anywhere, under any circumstances, will I recognize Jesus? In our lesson that was read this morning, in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 35, I'm not going to go over it again because it was read, and if you didn't get a chance to read it, you could skim over when you get home. But I'm just going to speak about certain parts of there where the people of God, the men of God that walked with him, talked with him, ate with him, saw the miracles, but at this certain time, they didn't even recognize him. They did not recognize Jesus. And it as you read in the first verse, it was the first day of the week, where after Jesus was crucified and after he was placed in the tomb, after he had gone to his own people, the Bible said he would go to his own and his own wouldn't receive him. And so he turned to the Gentiles, right? And at this time, he's been crucified, he's been buried, and he's risen. And the first day of the week, we noticed that this is missionary day. And the women, they got up early. And they went to bless the Lord with their ointments, their oils of thanksgiving. They went to anoint him. And when they got there, and what they were contemplating about was already done. These are some great thoughts that if we put in our mind, we can really go forward. All of what those women were thinking about, how this and how that and what's going to be happening. And, you know, they wanted to do a service for the Lord. But they had some questions. You know, it's not good to think about something all the time. Just as they sang the song, one day at a time, but you know, you need to take 1 minute at a time. Especially the time that we're living in now, there are so much frustrations, there's so much stress, there's so much things that can make you doubt and wonder and get all discombobulated and get all weary and get all everything negative. The most that's going on today, it will make you negative if you're looking out of these eyes. You'll begin to question everything and everybody. You start looking in the mirror and questioning yourself, who am I? Who is that? Who is that looking back at me? And this is what those women were doing as they, you know, went towards to do the service for the Lord. How many times you wanted to do service for the Lord and you was really under pressure, you don't know how you was going to get it done. But you really wanted to do it, but you didn't see the way to get it done. And this is what happened to these women that went to the sepulchre after Jesus was crucified. They went to anoint him, but they say, who's going to roll? You know, I remember that they put a stone at the door, and it's three times bigger than we are. Are your problem three times bigger than you are? Is your situation bigger than what you think you can handle?
Jesus.
All you need to do is give it to Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
All you need to do is surrender it. And they went there and they wondering, and when they got there, they found that the stone had already been rolled away.
Amen.
The door to where they had placed Jesus was wide open. Amen. Now, these are little things that as you read them and you think about it, you look back there, but you bring it right here. Bring it to where you are. Bring it to your situation and conditions. What they were wondering about was already done.
Yes.
I think we sing a song, He's already here.
Thank you, Jesus.
Can't you feel His presence? He's already here.
Hallelujah.
We don't come here to try to put Him up. Pull Him up. He's already here. And He's already up. We come to recognize Him and say, Lord, I thank You.
Thank You, Lord.
Lord, I praise You.
Yes.
Lord, I glorify You. You won't have no problems if your thoughts are in the right place.
Yes.
If you're thinking the right way and thinking the right thing, you won't have no problems of giving Him thanks.
Amen.
Oh, you don't have to stir it up because it's already to the top, everything all mixed together, and that coffee is ready to drink. You don't have to go find a stick or a spoon because everything is mixed together and it already tastes good. And you just got to say, didn't that coffee taste good? Quickly, simple as that. Now, we're living in a time of quick work. We got to get some quick work and righteousness. We can't be waiting all around and wondering and pondering and wondering whether it's going to be done and who's going to do it. You got it.
Yes.
And then they asked him a question after they found the sepulcher was open, the entrance was empty, was there, and they looked in and they didn't see him. And then the Lord sent some help and he asked them, I know you're seeking, but he's not here. Why are you looking for the living among the dead?
Yes, sir.
That tell me they didn't remember that he said he was going to get up.
Yes.
Why are you searching for the living among the dead? Why are we trying to receive from the devil when God already gave you what you need? It said he is not here in the sixth verse, but is risen. He said, remember. Are you remembering? He said, remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? I'm going to die. I'm going to get up. You might call this a Easter message. But every day is Easter. Because he rose over 2,000 years ago. He's already up. You preach it anytime. Anytime that your heart needs to be stirred and inspired. Think about that. He's not dead. He's alive.
Yeah, resurrection. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
You're not dead, Mother McKenzie.
Yes.
We can say and sing up from the grave and all these things, but we need to do this all year long.
Yeah.
Because he's alive and well.
Yeah.
And they even the angels rehearsed to those women what he said before. Remember what he said. He said that this was going to happen and they're going to deliver me and they're going to crucify me. And the third day I'm going to get up.
Yeah.
And this is the third day. That's why he's not in there.
Yeah.
And the Bible said they remembered, right?
Yes.
And he told you it was Mary Magdalene and Joanne and Mary of James and all these other good women, these women that have had it at heart. And the women went. The women got the message, went to the men. See, they went to the men. Because the men are in charge. The men are in charge. So they went to the men and told them the things they had seen and heard.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
But when they told it to the men,
they never believed.
And they say, you're just telling a story.
Right.
And you just had a vision. What you saw was not real. What you heard was not real. Men don't readily believe women. They don't really, in a like that, believe what they are saying. Same way today. Take a little while for them to wrap it around their minds, and after a while they do come and say, you know, that was right. But take a little minute. See, so in the former, so in the latter. Say amen, women. Say oh me, men. See that? They don't even want to say that. Can't even say what the preacher say. Tell me that we're not the same place we were before. Uh-huh. But it's all good. And their words in verse 11, and their words seemed to them as an idle tale. Now, I didn't write this. It's in the book. So you can't get upset because he said that's the way it is. That's what he say men do. That's the way he say they operate. You can't say that he lied. He said that's the way you operate. He said this is the way women operate. And they believe them not. Then after the women told the men what happened, that a couple of them got up and they ran, or Peter, he ran to the sepulchre, stooped down. Then he looked and saw that what they said was as they said. Then he started wondering. He don't know what happened to him either. They couldn't remember that he said on the third day he was going to rise. And because he didn't see him where he was, he began to wonder in his mind, where is he? He's not in there. Now, he didn't get all happy and say, he rose. Yes, he did. Oh, my God, he got up just like he said. No, he didn't do that. He started wondering, where is he? Where is he? It said in the book, now I'm telling you what the book said. The 12th verse said, wondering he depart, wondering in himself at that which came to pass. Now I want to talk about this 13, 14, 15, and 16 verse, just for a minute. It said, and behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, means 7 miles. They went out 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew nigh and went with them. If you take this message to heart today, this little Bible study, I'll say it. If you take it to heart today, it'll change your whole entire outlook on life. Your whole life will change. If you can focus on what is being said and look at it within yourself. You have to take the word to yourself. You got to eat it and digest it. Then you got to operate it. It says, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Now listen to this. Jesus came and walked beside them. And the Bible said he would not allow them to recognize him because he knew that they were doubtful, unbelieving apostles. They didn't believe what the women said. So he needed to give them a lesson on belief. He needed to give them a lesson on trusting.
Yes.
He needed to help them to increase their faith.
Yes.
You know, you have little faith and you have great faith.
Yes.
Little faith only goes so far. Great faith will take you into places you never thought you can get to.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. Little faith will take you so far. But great faith will take you to places that you never thought you could get to. The 17th verse. And he said unto them. Now this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And asking them questions. But he knew what was in their heart. He knew what they were saying before he came up to walk with them. He knew in their heart they was already doubtful. They wasn't believing, or they wasn't even remembering in a positive way what he said. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another and ye walk and are sad? That should have been the most happiest day of their life. But here they walk in sadness. Here they walk in wondering. Here they walk in doubt.
Yes.
Now this lesson is for us today. I'm talking about them back there, but he said it's for those that will be in this building today. He wants to help you up, help you out, and help you over. My God. So he asked him, what are you talking about? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And had not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? You don't know what's going on, man. You're a stranger. Where you been all the time? Now they're talking to Jesus. Where have you been all the time? You don't know what's going on? And then they didn't, in the 19 verse, he said, as if he didn't know anything. And he said unto them, what things? What happened? What's going on? And they said unto him, we talking about Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet. He was mighty in words and deeds and before God to all the people. And how the chief priests just pronounced him to die. They didn't even say it with no authority. So he delivered him up and condemned them to death and have crucified him. And here they are again doubting. We trusted that he was going to be the one that's going to deliver us. We thought that he was going to do it. Now right there, they kind of done wiped out everything Jesus said. We thought that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And beside all this, it's the third day and we don't see him nowhere. He's nowhere to be found. And he was to say he was going to get up. But we don't know if he's up or not. They went to the tomb and nobody's in there, but we don't know where he is. Then they say that, you know, we had certain women of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they has also seen a vision of angels. You see how they turn around what the people say? He said those women had a vision of angels. They didn't have a vision of angels. They saw the angels. They saw them with their natural eye. They spoke to them, gave them a message. And they took it and say they had a vision of angels which said that he was alive. Meaning that what they say, no, they just had a vision. This, you know, they say women, you know, always have a, they always take things bigger than what they are. You know, stretch it out. Not really what they saw. They didn't see that. That's what they said. That's what those men said. And say, certain of them which was with us went to the sepulchre and find it so as the women had said. But him, they didn't see him. So if they didn't see him and he not there, we don't know where he is. Will I ever recognize Jesus? And here's the will where the Lord had to give them a rebuke. Because they should not have been so doubtful and unbelieving. He said, then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet had said. And when this word here, prophet, if he's talking about himself, because in those days they called him a prophet. He said, now he didn't call them a fool that they were wicked men, but weak men in faith. They were weak men in their faith.
Yes.
And when you don't have enough faith, you act foolish. You think foolish. You do foolish things because your faith is too weak. He said, shouldn't you have believed what the prophet told y'all? That he was going to suffer? And because of his suffering, he was going to enter into his glory. Then he had to go all the way back to Moses and give them the whole story all over again. Still not allowing them to recognize who he was, because he needed them to increase their faith. He needed them to bring back their remembrance, and he needed them to believe without a doubt that whatever Jesus said, that's what it is. Don't mess your mind up. If Jesus said, don't let nobody change what he said. So he had to hone himself that they couldn't see him, so that he could give them something to hold fast to. He couldn't go back to heaven with his disciples down like that. They couldn't preach to nobody. And when they preached, they would have preached in doubt.
They never believed him.
So he had to make proof positive of who he was leaving his work in the hands of. He couldn't take a chance to leave. And here is an apostle that walked with him for 3.5 years, still in doubt, still weak, can't stand strong. So he had to blind their eyes. If the one that gives the revelation do not give the understanding, we will walk in blindness. If the one that gives the revelation, which was Jesus Christ, gave the revelation, gave the story of his life, if he didn't help them to get to understand, they will walk in darkness for the rest of their life. Same thing for us today. If we read this Bible and we don't have the Holy Ghost to give us understanding, we will walk in darkness. We'll preach, we'll teach, we'll speak in tongues, we'll still be in darkness, because we'll still live under doubt. We'll still live in fear. We'll still live in disbelief. But when you get to understanding, he said, wisdom is good. Knowledge is the principal thing along with wisdom. But in all you're getting, get some understanding. Will we recognize Jesus? These apostles didn't recognize him. And he had to go all through everything. And then he had to act like he was not going to stay in the town. But you know, he wasn't going nowhere, because he couldn't let them bad boys stay like that. They was walking half-cocked. They didn't have everything they needed. But he pretended that he was going to go a little further and going on down the road. And they constrained him, because they was liking what the stranger was saying.
Yes, yes.
What that stranger was saying sound good to them. It's something that they thought they heard before. Have mercy, Lord. And the Bible said he went in with them. He went in with them. He sat down. And they say, okay, we're going to give you something to eat, right? And when they gave him the bread, he took the bread. And he didn't change. He did what he always did. He blessed it. And he broke it. And he gave it to them. And immediately, their eyes became open and he disappeared. He wasn't staying around for them to ask him no questions. Because I done gave you the whole story. I done rehearsed everything to you. So I don't need you to ask me no question. I need you just to believe.
Yes.
I think this year they said the topic is only believe. He said, I don't need to tell you nothing more. Just believe.
Yes.
People of God, he don't need to tell us nothing else. We need to just believe.
Yes.
That he is God, and beside him there ain't nobody else can help you.
Yes.
And I know that's not good English, but it'll work. And you see, it was already night. In the story, it was already night. But they got so excited, like Sister Coffee do. They got so excited about what Jesus has just done. He just renewed their confidence. Just renewed their understanding. Just let them know that when he said that he was the truth and he could not lie. So he didn't need to tell them anything more. But what they did, they were so excited. It was night, but they got up. They didn't stay in that house no longer. They took off back to Jerusalem. They took off back to Jerusalem where the other brothers were, and they let them know, hey, he is alive.
Yes.
He is risen from the dead. And then they begin to rehearse that he appeared to Simon, and he appeared to these, and he appeared to them. They was having a good time right in the house, and Jesus said, that ain't good enough yet. You ain't there yet. So he appeared in the room.
Yes.
Where they were. That same day, in order for those apostles, those disciples, to get it right, those men, to get it right, he had to appear 5 times the same day. For those men, those disciples, to get it right, he appeared 5 times that same day that he rose. He appeared to the two men. He appeared to the women. The women believed and took it to heart. But those men, they just couldn't get it. So he had appeared to Peter. And then when they all got together and was talking about what they said, he had to drop down in the middle of them right then. Didn't it?
Jesus.
They still didn't get the message. Because when they saw him, they were scared to death. That's a ghost. It's his spirit. And then he had to go up again. Hey!
Unbelief.
It's me. Look at my hand. Look at my feet. Here's my side. Give me something to eat so you can know that I'm not a spirit. I'm Jesus. I mean, he took some time to get those brethren back in order.
Amen.
So that when he left, they would do it right.
Right. Yes.
He said, I'm not a spirit, y'all. What's wrong with you? I'm not a spirit.
Right. Spirit wrong.
Spirit don't have flesh and bone. That wasn't enough. He said, give me some bread. Give me something to eat. Spirits don't eat. So I got to eat. I'm going to eat before you to show you that I'm the man. I'm the man.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, Holy Ghost will. I recognize Jesus. Oh my God. And when after a while, they got it. They got it. And then he was able to do what he needed to do to those men and take them out and let them see him go up. Because now he understood. They understood that he was alive. He was well. And everything that he said he was going to do, he did it.
Yes.
And they can go forward with power. But they had to wait on it. Because he see the way that they were. After all the 3 years walking with him and talking with him and seeing all the miracles, they still had a problem.
Yes.
Look within yourself. With all that you know about the Lord, all that you're reading about the Lord. What happened when things happen? What happened when things happen? Do you recognize Jesus? They walk with him. They talk with him.
Yeah.
But they couldn't recognize him. Because they did not believe. They had doubt. And their faith was weak. But Jesus put it together. Got them in a shape. Got them right. And said, now go into Jerusalem and tarry. Stay there. Don't try to go do nothing. Don't try to go do anything until you be endured with the power that's coming from above. Now, these were the men that saw Jesus, saw the works, everything he did, but they didn't recognize him when the time that they should have recognized him. I'm going to go to a woman in the book of Matthew. This woman recognized Jesus. In her terrible, adverse, degrading, and seemingly rejecting circumstances, she still recognized Jesus. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. And it's found in Matthew chapter 15. And beginning at verse 21, I want to show you just a few little things. My God. See, our job is just to tell. The other side job is to do, so that the bigger works can be accomplished. Did not those men after a while did great works for the Lord? They was able to heal the sick with their bodies, just passing by, and handkerchiefs from their bodies, and I mean just speaking the word. They were able to help us today because it's written for us. This Syphonian woman in the book of Matthew chapter 15 verse 21, it says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre of Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same course and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. That's called a dry place. When you can't see nothing going on, that's a dry place. What happened when you get into a dry place where Jesus won't say a word in your circumstances and situation? He said, but he answered her not a word. And his disciple came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after her. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of David. I don't have nothing for this person. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me.
Help me, Lord.
But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs.
Thank you, Lord.
And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Be it unto you, unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let's notice what's in this passage right here.
Come on.
This woman.
Yes.
She was a Greek mixed with Kenyan, and that's why they didn't have no real nationality. That's the mix-up rate from the Gentile world. All mixed up. We got a whole world full of mixed-up people today. They don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. But listen to this story. This woman, now when Jesus left from where he was and went down into this place, he didn't go into the upper class area. He went to help this woman. He really went down into this poor area to help this woman because he knows all things.
Yes.
He know where you are.
Yes.
He know what your problems are. He know what your conditions and situation are. He know where you're hurt.
Yes.
He know what's going on before you know. So he went down into this poor area really to help this woman. And when this woman heard that Jesus was in the course, that he was in that place, she went. In the other scripture in John, he said that he went into this house because he didn't want nobody to really know that he was in town. But this lady heard.
Yes.
She heard about this Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Who healed the sick.
Yes.
Cleansed the leper. Raise the dead, give sight to the blind. She heard about that Jesus that was a compassionate Jesus, a Jesus that loved everybody, a Jesus that had no respect of person, a Jesus that will answer you when you call. Oh my God. She heard all this good stuff about this Jesus. And she didn't go for her health. She go for her daughter's condition.
Yes.
She didn't go seeking nothing for herself. Because she knows she was a Greek and they don't have no dealings with the Jews. And she knew that he was a Jew. But she knew that he was not a Jew like the Jews. He was a Jew that would do what needs to be done when it needs to be done.
Yes.
So she had all of that understanding in her heart.
Yes.
She went to Jesus with great expectation.
Yes.
She went to Jesus with no doubt in who he was.
Yes.
She had already recognized him from what she heard.
Yes. Hallelujah.
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 She didn't see the works done, but she heard of who he was and how great he was. And she was glad to get herself up out of our place where she lived, take that journey to where he was, going with a heart saying, I know he's going to help me. I know he's going to deliver me. I know he's going to make my daughter well. I know that he's going to give me words of encouragement. I know he's going to fix it for me. I know that. I know it. I know it without a doubt. I got faith. But look at here.
Hallelujah.
Getting to Jesus. Relating her misery.
Yes.
And her daughter, and with this devil's, it is degrees in how devils possess you. And her daughter was of the greatest degree. She was totally overpowered and overcome by the demons. And she couldn't do nothing about it. She couldn't help her daughter. But John, she didn't hold back the price. She gave it all. But look here. When she got to this great God,
amen,
and she addressed him just right, she addressed him properly.
Yes.
She said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She knew how to address the master. She knew how to put her words as it ought to be and give an honor to somebody in authority. My God. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. I like this lady. I like this lady. But when she got to addressing him and telling her of her misery for her daughter, this great God, this great Jesus, this great deliverer, this great healer, answered her not a word. He probably turned around, went on about his business. Now the disciples, because she kept on asking, she kept on talking. The disciple says, Master, give this woman what she have and send her home, because she's giving us trouble. She's embarrassing us. She's making all this noise. Give her what she's asking for and send her away.
Jesus was restraining her.
At that moment, to the bird, she felt a little hope. She felt a little bit better of just being ignored by the greatest source of hope on earth. Being totally ignored. Your dry place. What do you do in your dry place? How do you operate in your dry place? Do you know, do you recognize Jesus in your dry places?
Hallelujah.
As if that wasn't bad enough. He turned not to her. But there he turned to the disciples, say, don't you know? Do you not understand? I'm not sent to these people. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I don't have nothing for her. You know, I'm not talking about a man. I'm talking about Jesus. This is what Jesus said. This, it was okay, it was one of the disciples talking. But this was Jesus.
Yes.
When she saw all that going on, the Bible says in the 21st verse, now she recognized that she said everything she needed to say in that manner. The Bible says, then came she, and in her dry place, in her place of being ignored, she came and she worshiped the Lord, not with a long prayer, hallelujah, not with a lot of words, says, it said she fell down and she worshiped him. Even after being ignored, even after saying there's nothing but you, she said, I'm going to worship you. And she used three words. Lord, help me. In the midst of her rejection,
yes,
she worshiped the Lord. She worshiped the God of Israel. And with all her doing that, if that she wasn't degraded enough, she wasn't pushed to the side enough, when she said, Lord, after worship, she said, Lord, just help me. I don't have anything else I need to say. I'm just saying, I worship you. I praise you. I glorify you. I magnify you. It's okay. It's okay. Just help me. And right in the midst of all of that, hallelujah, right in the midst of all of that, but he answered and said, it is not meet. It is not the right thing to do to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. He called her a dog.
Hallelujah.
Call her a dog. The children of Israel.
Yes.
I'm not going to take Israel food and give it to you dog Gentiles. The Israelites, they called us the Gentiles dogs. And right at this little point, it looked like Jesus was agreeing with the Jews that these people who he died for were dogs. He made it look like he was in agreement with what they were saying, but he knew her heart. He knew her faith. And he wanted her faith to grow bigger than what she came with. When she left there, she wasn't going to leave there with little faith. She was going with great faith. So he just motivated her by acting like he didn't care. Acting like he wasn't going to do nothing for her. He had to take her through. She had to go through. She had to go through all of that degrading, all of that ignoring, all of that rejection, even down to be called a dog by the great master. In her dry season, she behaved herself very well.
Hallelujah.
She didn't doubt. Now at that point, you come and take us in the 20th century. You come into somebody for help and they turn around, ignore you first. I'm talking about Holy Ghost folks. Ignore you. Say they don't have nothing for you and turn around and call you a dog. What you Holy Ghost people would do? How's your attitude? What's your words will come out of your mouth? We stand today, if somebody can't pass you by, don't shake your hand. You got a problem. If somebody don't say nothing until you pass by and look like they're looking at you strange, you have a problem. But to call you a dog, what would be your response?
Right.
What would be your attitude? What would be your answer to that person?
Yeah.
Think about it. Will at that point, will you recognize Jesus in that situation? Would you recognize Jesus that he is in that situation just as well as if we were saying, yes, daughter, come on. Would you have seen him in that situation?
Oh, Jesus.
She could have turned that thing so bad. She could have walked around and said a lot of choice words that people say to the master. call me a dog. I'm not a dog. I'm a woman that need help. You supposed to be the great master. You one supposed to heal the sick. You say you do this, and you say that do this, and this is the way you operating. She could have went off on a tantrum like we do. She could have said all sorts of things. Because we do it. At those moments and times when things not going too right, and then somebody puts something on top of you even worse than that, you go off like a bum. The words just come out, and they don't come out good. I'll show you if I'm a dog. And you'll carry that in your heart for years and years. That Sister Clark called me a dog. You won't talk to the clock for 10 years. If I come down that aisle, you going down that one. Because you don't want to be bothered. You ain't going to shake no hand. You ain't going to do, you just going to be totally off course. Don't even have to call your dog. Just say a few words. I don't think you should do it this way. Much less than that, you don't want to shake somebody's hand. You want to avoid people. Because what you thought that day hurt your heart. Now this is a woman whose heart would hurt. This is a woman who took some stripes. But she didn't run away. She stood flat foot on the word of God. She stood on what she understood that this man can do. And she know that nobody else could have healed her daughter but this person. So I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to let all what you say go over my head. Because you're going to heal my daughter today. Because I'm not going to leave here until my daughter is healed. Did not Jacob say that? He told that angel, listen, you can break my leg, break my head, but I ain't going nowhere. You're going to bless me today. She had an excellent spirit. And at that moment, God helped her. She said, Lord, you're telling the truth. She recognized what she was called. So it shouldn't bother her because she knew that they called them dogs. She understood that quite well, that they were called dogs. So she didn't get upset. See, when you know that you know that you know, if you know who you're not and somebody calls you something, what you getting upset about? That's not you. They ain't talking to you. They might be looking at you, but they ain't talking to you because you know that's not you. But see, we're so silly.
Yes.
We let what somebody say, and you know it ain't you, and you go do with you, address them back. Do not allow anybody's action dictate your reaction. Think twice before you speak once. She said, true, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. It's okay. I don't mind, she said. I don't mind to be a dog.